One flock. In the middle of all of that, with the wolf and I'm the good shepherd, Jesus points out that his desire is for there to be one flock, one shepherd. And I am convinced that Jesus gets what he wants. Maybe not all at once and maybe not all that quickly, but I am convinced that Jesus gets what he wants and that Jesus' desire for there to be one flock and one shepherd doesn't have anything to do with deciding to agree about everything. And I'm also convinced that it means that Jesus wants everyone to be included in the reality of God's love. And Jesus gets what he wants. One flock. It's not exclusive, it's universal. It includes everyone. It includes folks you think are obviously included. Well, of course. It includes folks you're not so sure are included. I don't know. Apparently you think that in a British accent, at least I do. It includes folks you are positive aren't included. Yeah, that's an easy one, right? We're good at deciding who's not in. But it includes everyone, one flock. Because God loves the whole world, all the earth. And God wants there to be one flock. A caring community of Christ, one flock. A people of prayer and action, one flock. A beacon of hope, justice, and peace, one flock. And how do those statements of God's vision for St. Paul, that the ones that signify the oneness that we have as a church, how do they signify the oneness that we have as one flock, all of us? Inclusion of all in God's love? Well, let me counter my question with the other side of the question. How do they not? Each statement is about God's vision for St. Paul's as we live out love, as we continue to be the church in the world. What if you don't believe all the things that maybe St. Paul's church people believe, or individuals in the pews believe and others don't, or whatever? What if you don't believe all that? Well, we're a caring community. What if you're from a different religion? Or what if you're from no religion? We're a caring community. What if you disagree with how to get things done? We're a caring community, and we're a people of prayer and action. To the answers. I know, it's about the journey, not the answers, but these are answers to these questions. What about, what about, what about? What if you're angry about your experience with the church? A lot of people have that. Well, we're a caring community. We're a people of prayer and action. We're a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. One flock. So, in living out God's vision for St. Paul's United Church of Christ, we acknowledge that it is bigger than us. It's not just about us. It's bigger than that. It's about God's love and care for the whole world, for the whole earth. Caring community, prayer and action, a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. One flock. And of course, not all beliefs, not all our experiences are the same. We don't have a litmus test that says, unless you believe this way, you can't belong. We don't have a litmus test that says, unless you look a certain way, you can't belong. We don't have a litmus test that says, anything, unless you can't belong. It just doesn't exist. One flock. We share this planet. We share natural resources, air, water, food. And we're called as people of faith. And yes, as people of science, we're called as people to be good stewards of all creation. We are called as all humanity to care for the whole earth. Plant, animal, mineral, the whole earth. And we don't care for it all together. Wait a minute. We do care for it all together, don't we? Yeah. We care for it all together. Because if we don't care for it all together, then we lose our ability to thrive together. The science is pretty simple here. We live on the earth. And we have air to breathe, and water to drink, and food, and all of that, this, you know, plant, everything is there. And if we don't care for it, those things go away. The air to breathe, the water to drink, the plants that grow. The earth will be fine. The earth will just shake us off like bugs like a dog shaking water off of its hide. Be like, oh, fine, I'm fine. There's no life here anymore, but I exist as a planet. So if we want to thrive on this planet, we have to take care of it. We can't just keep drilling into the ground and expect that that's not going to cause problems. We can't just keep tearing down all of our jungle, all of our rainforest, and think that everything's going to be okay. If we don't care for it together, then we all lose the ability to thrive together. And we are one flock. In the pews, we have different beliefs about a whole lot of things. And we are one flock. We have a good shepherd. This is Good Shepherd Sunday. We have a good shepherd who is filled with compassion, devoted, really dedicated to the well-being of the flock. The whole flock, not just here in the pews. Not just our partners in ministry in the community. Not just our denomination. Not just all of Christ's church. Not just the people in the United States of America. Not just the people in the North American continent. Not just people who believe exactly the same way we do. Not just the ones we like. Not just all of it. Not just any description you can use to somehow make the ones whom the Good Shepherd loves into anything exclusive. It's not just. It's all. God's universal love is the opposite of exclusive. So, if ever Christianity is used to exclude, it's just being done wrong. And I know Christianity is so often used to exclude. And within Christianity, we so often use things to exclude. You've heard of the Pope, right? Pope Francis. You love a lot of what he does. Maybe you don't like everything what he does, but just recently he said something like, hell doesn't exist. And pretty soon, the Vatican came out and said, he didn't really say that. And Francis is like, oh man, I can't say anything without the Vatican kind of having to back down on what I said. No, that's what I said. Oh, and that's a really difficult thing for Christianity to understand. Let me just give you a little background, though, a little Bible background. In the Old Testament, this concept of the word hell comes from the word Sheol. It's the place of the dead. So, it's not burning and gnashing of teeth. In the New Testament, the thing that is translated as hell is called Gehenna, and it's kind of the gnashing of teeth, but it's more like the rats gnashing at people that are trying to take their food. It's this place on the outskirts of the city where all the garbage is, and there's all these smoldering fires of garbage. So this is what Old Testament and New Testament understood as what we call hell now. The place of the dead, this burning place outside of the city. Our view of this entirely horrible lava-strewn, fires burning up, always on fireplace, that comes from Dante. That doesn't come from the Bible. So, does hell exist? It's not in the Bible the way we have been taught. Just going to say that. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, says, you know what? There's not a litmus test here. I love you. Show love for one another. Maybe that's the litmus test. Whole flock. Everyone. Jesus loves all. A shepherd that cares deeply for the flock. Doesn't desert them when there is trouble. That's Jesus. And we're so good at bringing about trouble. We think, we agree on things, we disagree on things, we make mistakes, we do things that make the world a better place. Oh, yes, we do things that make the world not a better place. And we are part of this vast flock, unconditionally and undeniably enfolded in God's love. A caring community of Christ, enfolded in God's love. A people of prayer and action, enfolded in God's love. A beacon of hope, justice, and peace, enfolded in God's love. So let's live out that unconditional and universal love. Let's give each other a break. Let's live knowing that every person is worthwhile and every person is one that is precious to God. Let's love God. Let's love everyone. One flock. The love that is universal. Amen.